Ozo, Nikon, welcome back to the show, guys. We're off the res. We're out of our minds sometimes. Anyways, just remember, if you want to give us any kind of support, we prefer references, listening again. Let your friends, family know, hey, there's a cool podcast, or we like to keep all of us like-minded people together in the same little pod, right? The Keyboard Clan, I guess that's what we are now. So, Sam, what do you want to talk about today? Anything exciting?
Well, Josh, I just got done watching the CPN debate for chairman between two of the candidates for chairman, Steve Castaneda and Lisa Kraft. The current chairman, John Barrett, wasn't present, but I thought both candidates did a good job. I thought they both answered some good questions and conducted themselves really well, and I enjoyed it. It was good to see some of the topics brought up and discussed in detail. Some of the things that we might see on social media. It was good to listen to them talk, to be able to, you know, finish the conversation about it instead of be interrupted. And sometimes whenever they have to type out a whole lot, you don't really get the full message. Anyway, I was just wondering what your initial takes were on it.
Sam, you're wondering what my thoughts on the, guess, the great debate, right? And my thoughts were, it was typical. You are seeing what we call the great. It's a great race, and I don't know if I'd call it. Feels like it's almost like if someone offers you a chance to debate them, and you don't like the place to do it at, or if you don't do it, but there's no acknowledgement of it, and you see that fine line, like, it's either my way or not at all being thrown here. And since both the other candidates were there, even though it was a third-party hosting event, I feel like the other two candidates got slighted a little bit. And if anything, that probably helped them, just because people see a face with a answer. Now, I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for, and like I said, we're going to keep that free, but that was a great debate of the two, Castaneda and Kraft, or Kraft and Castaneda. So, I'm glad we got to see at least two of them. So, that's my thoughts on that.
We'd like to start reading some questions from our viewers. So if you guys will send us an email at ahomanonikon@gmail.com, we'll read those online, and maybe you get your email name or whatever screen name you want us to read. We'll read that, and we'll read your question or statement and have a little bit to discuss about it. If you guys would like to, and again, I'll spell that out. It's ahomonikan@gmail.com. And yeah, so write your letters to Josh and I, and we'll get back to you. Thank you, and have a great day.
Sam, that's great. I'm glad you didn't spell it dot, D-O-T. Hey, we'll leave the address into the show notes. All you got to do is just click on the podcast itself, and in the description, you'll see the spelling of ahomanonikon@gmail.com. You get 2 gold stars if you can tell us what it means.
Josh, as you know, I used to work in the enrollment department at the Potawatomi Nation here in Oklahoma, and whenever you do that, you A lot of times you have to look up people's genealogical information to double check, and a lot of other times, because that wasn't really my job in the department doing the enrollments, but it was my job to do people's genealogies, which it was easier for somebody in my position to do it because we had all the paperwork and documentation that everybody had turned in, plus all the records recorded from the rolls that were on microfilm and microfiche. And so once you could start compiling the information, because if say me and one of my long-lost cousins both turned in the same genealogy report, we may not know everybody in between. But we'll know their lineage up to an ancestor and my lineage up to an ancestor, and then as more gets filled in, you can kind of fill it in yourself, at least back so many generations before anybody from our generation or our parents. You can usually fill that out. It's not too hard, but because of that, I had access to a lot of those genealogies that other people aren't going to have access to, not out there online or any of those genealogy sites. The only one I've ever played around with that I've ever had access to was on Ancestry.com. One of my distant family members, a Milo Navarre, was on there, and he gave me access to his account, and I went on there and looked around and played around with it, but it wasn't my site, and the only person I was looking up was me. And so my ancestry is pretty documented, and so it wasn't as big an undertaking for me. The one I did try to add some of my Potawatomi ancestors onto that site for both him and me, and I submitted them and they were rejected. And it gave me a note that said that they couldn't put them on there because there was no additional documentation. But I could take my lineage back. I think it went back into the 1400s over there into Europe, and they were turning stuff in that just said so and so this, so and so that, and it was accepted. But you can go back pretty far. I've managed to go back pretty far on my genealogy just in research. And the most important thing I feel like whenever you're doing the research is names. That's the most important thing, is names. There's a good book by N. Scott Momaday called The Names, and in which he's talking about the old names of his people. He was Kiowa and Diné, Kiowa and Pueblo, one of those southwestern tribes. He was Kiowa and another southwestern tribe. And he talks about the importance of those names, that, and of course, names predate documentation. Everybody used to have a name, and nothing was, they didn't have to be written down, and so those names, they came from somewhere. And so names are important whenever you're doing genealogy research, of course. And what I would always tell people whenever we were doing, whenever they would get enrolled and then they would be doing their own genealogical research, and the most important thing for them was to be able to go back to Potawatomi ancestors. They wanted to go back to a Potawatomi ancestor again with a Potawatomi name. And in most cases, we could get that done. But then what was cool was, because when I worked in the enrollment department doing genealogies, I was just a language student and just kind of learning. And so then whenever I worked in the language department and I understood the language a little better. I went back and took a look at our rolls for names to see how many original families were on the 1887 enrollment. And at my last count, I had 230 individual families. And of course, once you get back to a native name, I was listing most of those as their own family. You know, like the Navarre would be a family, the Milos would be a family, and other families that we might know of, OG or Weld. You would look in these native names, and a lot of times you could go back to a treaty or a roll prior to the 87 and find those people as kids. In the Kansas rolls, you could find those people in the 87 roll as a kid, and then it would list their parents, and you'd get their parents' name, and you would see who they were in that book with or next to, because they would, so a lot of times they would either have the date that they were recorded or, like family group. And once you could get into that family group, then you can look back even farther. And so that was pretty cool, because a lot of us are dependent on, once you go back far enough and you find someone that was notable, then their histories are recorded already. And so what's difficult, the hardest part of research, is whenever you hit a point where you cannot find any possible names older. A lot of times an orphanage, whenever a child is orphaned and goes to an orphanage, it really does, it disconnects, because there's rarely any records at that point of who took them to the orphanage, anything. And so that's the hardest part, is whenever you hit that snag. But because they don't have DNA information enough to be able to specify within families, you know, who this was or who that was. You know, they're not there yet. Sometimes it scares me how close they're getting, but it's all right. I do think it's all, we're all one planet and one Earth, so I'm okay with it. But that's got to be the toughest thing for people, is when they hit that snag. A lot of times, if just someone was an orphan, then someone in the community would raise them, and in those cases, they usually would stay close to the family. It would be either aunts or uncles or cousins, you know, the same kind of way that everybody within a clan was in some way related, was closely related, or not really closely, but some way related if they were all in the same clan, then you could still kind of figure out some other things. Anyway, so when people would be doing their research to try to connect them to a Potawatomi name, a lot of times they would be doing their genealogies, and the thing that I would always tell them to do would be to get their death certificate. If they could get their ancestors' death certificate, then on that death certificate, a lot of times it's going to say where they were born. Then if they had any kids or anything like that, it's going to reconfirm that. But if you can get the death certificate and then the birth certificate, a lot of times you can contact that state's Department of Vital Statistics. And that vital statistics, if you can give them the name and the date of either the birth or the death, they can look that up. And if you can keep going back like that, birth certificate, because then you can read the parents on there, then you can kind of build yourself a ladder into the past going that way. And so occasionally, if they're going off the dad's line and the dad is gone, or is not on the birth certificate, then they hit this stump. And that can't, you can't overcome that, though. You just have to kind of look more into the mom's family and those kids, like where they were born and this and that. It's not impossible. It's not easy. But if you can contact the counties that they were born in, you can look and see if they had any public records, like if they were arrested or if they bought a piece of property. Then you kind of, once you can narrow them down into these counties, because unless they're in a big city, the numbers are pretty low. They're not like they are today, where there's, you know, 50,000 people in every county. So, I don't know, that's kind of a long, drawn-out answer there, but that's my best advice for getting around the difficulties of researching your genealogy.
Sam, I'm glad you talked about genealogy. I can go through different parts. Oh, one side of my family, I can do go up to the 1300s. It's the London side. My grandma was a London. She married a Kiefer, but she always told everybody she's a Kiefer. So if you know any Kiefers, especially in southern Oklahoma, odds are we are related. So that being said, when it comes to the Potawatomi side, I am Three Fires, Ottawa, Ojibwe, and Potawatomi. I'm just like Sam. We are here by treaty, you know. That's how they did. They just tried to destroy you and call you something else and just push you down, remove you, call you something else, remove you, call you something else. New treaty, new treaty, new treaty. But anyways, here's something cool I always like to tell the kids. I've already started telling them. They're like, oh, my son was telling me about George Washington. I was like, well, go ask your teacher about Pontiac. Tell him that you are a descendant of Pontiac. You're related to Shibonia. And, you know, I know there's a couple different, me and some have had this conversation, like how there's actually different Chabonets, Shabonas, and they're two different, I think they're two different chiefs. Just the spelling is just so close to the same. But here's something very interesting. This tells you how much you can really trust about history, because they wanted everything to be destroyed. So you're trying to rebuild it back the best you can, because they don't want no one to remember anybody, especially if it's Indian. They wanted to kill the Indian. So Chabonet, which means he has pawed through. He is, they say he's Ottawa in this article. I'll just kind of highlight it. But he was born in the Potawatomi tribe in Mackinac. He is the nephew or grandnephew of Pontiac. So that could be why there's two different Chabonets, and, you know, each one had a bunch of kids, so you could fall off those different lines. You could be related to two. Who knows? Maybe one, but not the other. I guess you have to be related to both, but not maybe directly. But then every article you'll find around this time frame talks to their relation to either Pontiac or Tecumseh. And so this article that I got from me actually talks about how Chabonet was with Tecumseh. He was there when the lightning struck the tree, and Tecumseh said that the Great Spirit caused the tree to be caught on fire so they could all light their pipes to assemble together. Very cool. This one also, this article is interesting because it says that the British told Tecumseh about an eclipse that was going to happen. And so Tecumseh said that the sun was going to hide his face. I don't know how much truth that really is. I know Tecumseh was born in a time of astrology. And so they already knew about the moons and stuff and the eclipse. When it's going to, in a sense, he studied the stars. He knew when stuff was going to happen. And it's no different than, it's a craft, it's what it is. And so I don't know how much I really think about the British telling them that. It's just probably just them trying to discredit the power of Tecumseh. So Tecumseh could be a whole podcast series. But anyway, so when it comes to genealogy, Sam, I'm just like you. I go a certain way, a certain year. When we come down to it, Sam, actually, just for fun, I'm actually involved in a Facebook group of Sam. It's called the Navarre Basque or something. It's where a bunch of Navarres just get together and talk about their name. So that's what I'm saying. That's kind of like this podcast, right? You get everybody together with the same idea, except their Facebook group's probably a little crazy. Crazier than us. I don't know. But then again, I guess we could eventually turn this podcast to the Keyboard Clan LLC or something. That'd be fun. But anyways, we're going to end this podcast here. Like I said, Sam is asking you to send some emails to us. So please go ahead and do that, or you can hit the Facebook page up and just send Sam a message on there, and he'll correspond and he'll answer your questions. I said, I've always asked Sam everything ever since we first got to know each other. I was like, Sam, I want to build a sweat lodge. Sam, I want to do this. Sam, I want to do that. And he'd be like, okay, slow down there. And so I'd slow down. We'd take it back 20 notches. So till next time, Bama P.
No, sir, I have not tried the new canned water. I think that's a good idea, though, getting away from the plastic bottles. Of course, I think that's a good idea. And it's a shame that it costs more to drink water out of a can. I think pretty soon everybody will get their designer canteens ready and fill up their own water, maybe cook it down themselves. Maybe that'll give them some ideas. Well, as a graduate of the University and Science of Arts of Oklahoma, it's my obligation to say that Teyata should be on a quarter, if she's not already. She was a student there and a well-known, she was a storyteller. And she was a member of the Chickasaw Nation. But, she kind of, you know, she was an actress, and she did a lot of storytelling. I guess she was a theater major. But no, those are some pretty powerful women, and I don't want to, I definitely wouldn't want to take away from anything any of them have done, and they're deserving of recognition for that. I don't know. I've never been impressed by who's on the money. And however, it did kind of remind me, what happened about that change shortage? Remember a little while back there was a change shortage and everybody needed your change. They couldn't make change at the store. What happened to the change shortage? Well, as a graduate of the University and Science of Arts of Oklahoma, it's my obligation to say that Teyata should be on a quarter, if she's not already. She was a student there and a well-known, she was a storyteller. And she was a member of the Chickasaw Nation. But she kind of, you know, she was an actress, and she did a lot of storytelling. I guess she was a theater major. But no, those are some pretty powerful women. And I don't want to, I definitely wouldn't want to take away from anything any of them have done. And they're deserving of recognition for that. I've never, I don't know, I've never been impressed by who's on the money. However, it did kind of remind me, what happened about that change shortage? Remember a little while back there was a change shortage and everybody needed your change. They couldn't make change at the store. What happened to the change shortage?